morning, everyone. I'd like to begin the Upper District Municipal Water District Board of Directors meeting on this July 17th, 10 a.m. At this time, we'll go to item number one, which is Pledge of Allegiance. And Director Vargas could lead us in the flag salute. We would appreciate it.
Everyone, put your right hand over your heart. Ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Great. Thank you. Let's go to item number two, roll call of the members of the board. And let the record show all members are present with the exception of Dr. Tony Fellow. Item number three is adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda as presented. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Hearing none, it passes 4-0. Good item number four, public comments. Anyone wishing to speak to the board of directors may do so at the podium, and we have a distinguished guest as well.
I don't know about that. My name is Tony Zampiello. I know all of you. I work for the Maine Basin Water Master. I appreciate just a couple minutes of your time. I'm not going to go over this handout, but I wanted to update you on something that we think could be a good opportunity for all of us to work together as we start to put some meat on the bones. Water Master, I know Director Trevino and also Dr. Fellows were part of the vote. Water Master recently put aside $200,000 to start working on a messaging program that was really came across from us to the producers. As we started to come out of this wet winter, a lot of people were hearing that the drought's over, State Water Project has water, and realistically, the basin has a long ways to go to recover from this long-term drought. So I was tasked by our board to go ahead and try and put together a message. And I wanted to clarify some things about the message that just a couple of points on it. What we're trying to do is we're trying to educate people that the San Gabriel Valley and the San Gabriel River watershed are unique, especially in Southern California, in the sense that when you hear this discussion about Measure W and all of these thousands of gallons, millions of gallons that go to the ocean when we have a storm, that is the case on the LA River in most instances, but on our watershed, that's not the case. In fact, they're almost opposites in that sense of each other. And our producers have a real concern that all of the efforts that you folks, Three Valleys and San Gabriel District, are doing sometimes aren't taken as seriously because it doesn't dovetail into the real world of what we have to deal with in basin recovery. So I just wanted to report very quickly, give you this. This was presented to the Basin Water Management Committee the last time. I know that some of the upper district staff and other folks, Three Valleys and other folks were there, but I wanted to just update the board very quickly, let you know that where we are at now is we have a message that we think is the word message. The next meeting of our small ad hoc committee of producers is going to put together some visual or decide on a couple of visuals to go with that message. And then the next thing that we will be doing is rollout. We would hope that Upper District would agree to be a part of that, at least be a partner with Three Valleys of San Gabriel District, and us to, you know, the way I've described this is it's going to be a clip-on program. So Met's efforts, Upper District's efforts, down to the producers to have their own efforts, this can all be clipped together to educate the folks in our area. We're doing a lot of work on demographics. We're doing a lot of work on trying to put together slogans that don't offend if spoken in another language. They're not, you know, there are trigger words in other cultures and languages that can impact people. And that, you know, I talked to your general manager, and the hope is that we go forward. Once we kind of get our group together and we know what we want to talk about, then we can work with you all on coordinating the rollout. So if you review this, if you have any questions, it's always tough
Anyone else wishing to address the Board of Directors at this time? Seeing none, then we'll move on to item number five, committee reports. There are three in our packets, government affairs, water policy, administrative and finance. Those reports are there written. Any chairperson wish to add any comments to their committee, respective committees? If not, then we'll move forward to item number six, anything that needs to be removed from the consent calendar.
Attorneys, is there an attorney report? Attorney meeting?
Attorney's report is item number 10.
Okay, I'm sorry, closed session.
There is no closed session today, no.
So I'll go ahead and move it with the removal of the closed session.
There's not a closed session on the consent calendar.
So therefore, item number 19, what is that? That's
not the consent calendar.
Consent. Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay. Move consent calendar.
It's been moved. I'll second the consent calendar. Any questions? None? Okay. All those in favor of the consent calendar, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Hearing no opposition, that passes 4-0. We'll go to item number 8, which is action items or discussion items, and there's several of them there. We will go to item 8A, which is update of the MWD's regional recycled water advanced project, and we have a very, very special guest from the Met to give us a presentation. Do you want to do any?
Yeah, I'll do a very quick introduction. Devin Upade from the MWD Chief Operating Officer. When I mentioned to Devin that we wanted someone to come and give us an update on the regional recycled water project, he insisted that he personally come and make this presentation. I'm very pleased that he's here. I just wish we had a full board and Director Fellow could be here, but we'll get him up to speed later on. And so Devin taking time out of his busy schedule to be here, I think is a demonstration to us and producers of how seriously and how important this project is to the region. So with that, take over.
Thank you, Tom, and good morning. It's truly a pleasure to be here to talk with you about what looks to be a very promising project that could add a new supply to this region's ability to replenish the groundwater basin in addition to what we have in place right now. I wanted to start just by thanking you for your leadership. If you take a look at this year, we have had a blessing in a significant amount of supply available in the State Water Project system. And we've been able to work with Tom and with Tony to be able to put in place mechanisms to really capture a lot of water this year. I think that it's a great opportunity, and really want to thank you for your leadership in helping make that happen. So this project would potentially add to those options to be able to capture water and store water in the future. So I'll just give you a quick update. The nature of this update, I want to give you some background on the program. I want to talk to you about a major milestone that we've made with a demonstration facility that we now have in place down in the city of Carson, and then some upcoming activities which are actually starting with the release of a new white paper on the project probably this afternoon, building up to some workshops with our board starting next week. So to review the basic concept for this program, this is a collaboration between Metropolitan and the Los Angeles County Sanitation District. The total potential yield of this program is 150 million gallons a day, which in acre feet, if you were to base load that operation for the full year, would produce just shy of 170,000 acre feet of supply. This recycled water program, when completed full build out, would be the largest recycled water facility in the United States. And the concept here is to deliver water to our member agencies for three different purposes. The primary purpose is for groundwater replenishment. Another small piece of that is for industrial consumption. Near where this treatment plant would be, there are a number of industrial demands that could be met with this water supply. And then we're also looking at future direct potable reuse by bringing the water all the way up to the headworks of two of our major treatment plants. And then that water can be distributed out through our distribution system in the long run. So those are the general concepts. We've been working at various levels to investigate this opportunity for just shy of 10 years now. And back in 2015, the board authorized us to move forward with a demonstration project to prove out the treatment technology that would be needed for the first phase of the program. Now, this was really done, the planning of this was done in three steps. We issued a feasibility study back in 2015-16 that's complete. That basically said, yes, this program is feasible, and you could build it at a full size of 150 million gallons a day. But it didn't talk about whether you would do that in phases. Would you do it all at once? How would you go forward with it? So earlier this year, we released a conceptual planning study, which sets the basis for us to start the environmental work on the project. That conceptual planning study suggested actually phasing the project. You know, do it all in one fell swoop, and we'll talk about the phasing a little bit later in this presentation. And so the next phase would be starting the environmental work, and we are going to be bringing an action to our board to consider that late 2019, early 2020. But we've got some steps we want to take before that. I'm going to share that information. So real quick, the demonstration plant. If you watch the LA Galaxy play soccer, this plant, this facility, is just a couple miles away from that stadium in the city of Carson. This is an aerial view of the County Sanitation District's Joint Water Pollution Control Plant. This is the largest wastewater discharge facility in the state of California right now. And you can see in the dashed blue, that is the area of land at their site that would be used for the full-scale facility. In orange, that's where the demonstration facility is right now. And so when you look at this picture, that is what the demonstration facility looks like. It was a capital program of about $17 million. It's almost complete, 98%. We anticipate starting operation under the special test plan that we got approved by the State Water Resources Control Board in about a month, so late August, early September. And we'll be working towards a grand opening or ribbon cutting, if you will, of this project here in the fall. So it'll be a major event to open that project. So here's just a few of the remaining construction activities. There's not really a lot there. And a few pictures to show you what it looks like. I can tell you, and we'll get to this slide, we're conducting tours. If you guys have an interest in getting out there and seeing what the treatment technology looks like, it's a 500,000 gallons a day facility. We've got a learning center that's been set up here. You can see we can accommodate about 40 people in the learning center at any given time. All kinds of exhibits that have been posted there to walk people through the process and what we're doing to be able to purify this water. And we're conducting tours now for all sorts of stakeholders, including folks like yourselves. Our own employees are very interested. Our vision is that when this is constructed, our folks will own it and we'll be operating this facility. Right now, we've got 5 treatment plants. This would become our 6th treatment plant. Now, I mentioned earlier this year, we released the conceptual planning studies that set the foundation for starting the environmental process. Some major conclusions from those studies. First off, were that you probably don't want to build a full-scale facility, just go out and rush to 150 million gallons a day, that you want to phase it, but frankly, that first phase of the facility would be 100 million gallons a day, and that's still a giant facility. That we would build a backbone system, and I'll show you the graphic for what that system would look like, but that backbone system would be sized for the full scale. So when we're talking about a phase of treatment, you build 100 million gallons a day of treatment, but you would build the distribution capacity as if the full scale facility were built. You don't want to go in the ground twice to cut up areas, to put pipelines in, and then go back in and retrofit it for a larger size. So we build a full size for all the distribution and conveyance at once. We also expanded the notion of being able to do direct potable reuse. And the idea is through what's known as raw water augmentation. What this means is that we would purify the water at this facility, but then we would ultimately bring it up to our conventional treatment plants, potentially at Weymouth or Deamer down in Orange County, and then the water would go through a conventional treatment plant once again, and then out into the distribution system. Regulations for what's known as raw water augmentation have not been passed by the state of California, so the discussion we'll have with our board is, do we really want to pursue this option? We're going to suggest that we do, we would then be in a position to wanting to support and influence those regulations truly being done and getting completed by 2023 so we can use those regs for the permitting process for this project. And we also recommend doing a programmatic environmental impact report that would cover all of the full stages of this project. So this is the first phase. This is the backbone system. Lower left-hand corner, you can see it's kind of cartoonish, but we have detailed alignment for this. Lower left is where the main treatment plant will be. And then coming out to the east and moving up to the Santa Fe spreading grounds is what we refer to as that backbone system that would be sized for the full-scale 150 million gallon a day facility. You can see some of the other areas where we would have injection along the way for groundwater purposes. The second phase also shows you a link to industrial users in the harbor area and also a link to West Coast Basin injection wells. Some of you may have heard that in the West Coast Basin, they're doing some work to look at a saltwater plume that would be pumped and treated. They're looking for a replenishment supply for that saltwater plume that would be pumped and treated. So this would be a source in that area. And then finally, what you see on the right side of the graphic, those dashed lines, it's one of the concepts for the way we could bring the water all the way across to the Weymouth treatment plant that's in Luverne. And the interesting thing there is at that site at Weymouth, if you've been to the Weymouth treatment plant, there is a point there. There's what we call a junction structure there, which is where water is blended from the State Water Project and from the Colorado River Aqueduct. Our vision is that we would bring this into that junction structure, and now you'd be blending three supplies: advanced treated water, Colorado water, State Water Project water. Then you're able to take it through the Weymouth treatment plant, and the dashed line going down from Weymouth that says MWD Yorba Linda Feeder is a line we already own and operate. You get the water into that line, and you bring it down to Deamer. We're now blending and treating at two major treatment facilities, and we're able to then get it out into the distribution system for virtually most of Southern California to be able to take advantage of. So this is one option that would be studied in the programmatic EIR. There are other options for direct potable reuse also, but we think that that's a promising potential. We also updated the program costs, and the short story there is it's roughly $3.5 billion in total capital costs, and the unit cost of water produced and delivered through the system is about $1,800. Now, this is the total cost divided by the total acre feet. It does not account for contributions from other entities like the LA County Sanitation District or other parties that would come in and participate with us. We wanted to be above board that this is just the total cost divided by the acre feet. The numbers are likely to be different than this as you start to get participation from other agencies. So it gives you just kind of a general sense of things. So we do have a number of key upcoming activities on this program to be able to move forward. I mentioned to you we got the testing plan approved by the state board for the demo plant that will be testing this treatment train, and that will start here at the end of August. We're going to continue the stakeholder engagement as we try to move this program forward into the environmental process, and we'll be issuing a series of white papers. Right now we envision two white papers. That first white paper is probably going to be issued this afternoon to our board. In preparation for a workshop that we have actually set for next Tuesday. So next Tuesday we have a two-hour workshop with our board, and the idea behind these workshops is we want to answer a number of questions that the board may have that would then pave the way to approving starting the process for the environmental work and some of the preliminary engineering work that would be necessary. So there's a whole series of questions that we're thinking about. This white paper number one, this slide, shows you some of the things that will be addressed by that. And questions we're trying to answer are, what are the options for the environmental review? We've often been criticized that we tee up for our board action items that have two options. Option one is to do something, and option two is to take no action. We're not envisioning teeing it up that way. There are three very real different approaches that we could take for the environmental work. The first one you see there is a traditional programmatic EIR, probably takes 2 years. You do that EIR, and then tiering off that EIR, you start your engineering, your preliminary engineering, then final design, and then you start construction later. We're going to have have that option. We're also going to present a second option that starts the PEIR, but at the same time that we're doing that EIR, we're starting some of the preliminary engineering work. If it would help us fast-track getting the project online. And then there's yet a third option that would actually move forward preliminary engineering on a number of pieces of the project, including the areas down in the harbor and to the West Coast basin area. So we would probably be able to make deliveries of about 20 MGD of water 3 to 4 years earlier than the normal path for this project. So to give you a sense, the normal path from when the board approves the environmental work starting would probably be 11 years to making deliveries. That option would allow us to get probably 20 MGD online in 7 years, in that range, possibly 8 years. The advantage of that, and we're going to talk with the board about this on next Tuesday, is it's a smaller phase. You're then learning from operating that phase. You're working out some of the kinks while you're carrying out the remaining construction. We think that that may create an opportunity to be able to make the execution of the full project a little bit smoother, because inevitably, when we've looked at other projects that have been done, like the groundwater replenishment system, which was carried out by Orange County Water District, they had some learning steps along the way as they were constructing and operating that facility. So that might represent an opportunity for that to be a smoother process. But there are three distinct paths, and you can imagine it goes up in terms of cost of what we'd be asking the board. So we're talking anywhere from $20 to $60 million is the range based on which of these options we choose and we want to talk with the board about. The second white paper will be issued later this fall. It starts to get into the nature of the agreements that would be necessary to carry out this program, the different types of delivery commitments that we would need to have, all of the various partners, the way we would finance the program, other sources of funds that would come in terms of grants and low-interest loans, and the way we would recover the cost generally through our rate structure with our member agencies. So that second white paper would be in the fall, and then following that, the release of that white paper, similar to what we're doing now, we would have another workshop with the board to work through those things. Based on feedback with the board, if we need to have a third workshop because there are other questions that come up, we'll do that. We want to work through this discussion and then prepare for that action item to start the environmental work. So that's generally what I had for you today, a quick update. And this is our website. We've got videos and materials in terms of background on our regional recycled water program. And I will admit, one of our directors does believe this is probably the worst named program out there. We will be going on a full branding program for this once the board takes an action to approve the environmental work. Before that, we don't really have a full-scale project we're pursuing. When they take that step, then we would start with a branding and naming program for the full-scale project. So with that, thank you very much for having me today. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. So right now, are you then calling it the Regional Recycled Water?
Regional Recycled Water Program, yeah.
Program, okay.
May I ask, yes, outside of this, our Bay Delta Tunnel, where's that? What do you see there?
Yeah, so
it's not related to this, I understand.
No, yeah, they're two very different but very vital programs. The tunnel project right now sits in the hands of the Department of Water Resources. They are starting a new environmental process. It will likely begin this fall. What we're hearing from them is it's probably in the September-October timeframe that they start the first phase of that process. They are talking about a single tunnel. They have not honed in on the different sizing pieces of that tunnel, but what they will release in the September-October timeframe would start that process and would identify what the preferred option would look like as they go through that environmental process. So we're working with them to figure out what that sizing for that tunnel looks like. I'm sure you guys are very aware our position hasn't changed with respect to the need for a conveyance solution in the Delta, largely because it's not really related to trying to get more water from the Delta. It's because it's a risk mitigation strategy, particularly for flood and earthquake risk in the Delta. If you have that kind of event and you lose a number of the islands in the Delta, we could be out of supply. project protects us from that, which is why we believe it's so important.
Thank you.
Any questions on this project? Or how do those two projects complement one another?
Yeah, so one of the keys is you ultimately need to have supply that you're able to use to recycle. So if we don't have and we're cut off from the State Water Project supply for multiple years, you're probably going to be in a situation where you're looking at significant cutbacks here within the region. If you're able to shore that supply up, you've got a great water quality with the State Water Project, low TDS, you're then able to take that in. We'll be efficient users. We're continuing to sponsor and promote conservation. We save water through that means, but then folks are using it. We're then able to take advantage of a higher quality wastewater supply because it's lower TDS, and then we're able to recycle it and use that water again. So we think these two projects work very well together. This project also, in one fell swoop, helps to meet our significant local supply goals for the region. So to give you a sense, right now, in 2018, there were about 1.9 million acre-feet produced locally here in Southern California. The goal for the region, our goal for the region by 2040, is to have 2.4 produced on an average year. This project, you know, about 170,000 acre-feet would be a big chunk towards meeting that goal.
Okay.
One more.
Yes.
Hi, Devin. I know you're working on it, but it wasn't really talked about. I'm sure Metropolitans look at public funding, federal and state public funding for this. So can you talk about where you're looking and where you're at on the process? Because obviously we're really early on right now, but at some point we've got to start getting in line for some federal and state funding to help the cost.
Right. So we were just notified a few weeks ago that for the demonstration program, which was a $17 million program, we are retroactively being awarded $1 million grant to help offset the cost of that. So we were pursuing that for the developmental phase.
Right.
Going forward, we have used the conceptual planning study that we submitted to the board, released earlier this year. We submitted that to the feds as the feasibility study. That there's a requirement that in order to qualify for federal grants, you have to have a feasibility study that's
right.
approved by them.
Right.
We submitted that conceptual planning study into their process. They got back to us saying, this largely meets the needs. We're going to have to tweak a few things. But we feel that we're set up for that process.
Cool.
And now we're in discussions with both the federal folks through the EPA on how we could participate in their programs. They are they love the fact that this is a one-stop shop in the sense that it's a major program that would provide benefits for a very large region that they represent. So we have an advantage in that regard.
Yeah.
But there's also a time at which you'd be applying for those funds.
Right.
And that's still a number of years from now.
Okay.
The board still has to go through, we still have to go through the environmental impact report. It would be following the final issuance of that we would then be at a point where we're ready to start construction and really hopefully qualify for major.
Well, I know there'll be a lot of local support for those applications,
okay.
both the public agencies and the legislators.
And we would need that.
Yeah.
I mean, at the right time, we would be working with you all to make sure that we're all in alignment in the request.
Cool.
Yep.
Steve will co-sign.
Yeah.
Co-sign
it. Right, Jack.
Mr. President, if I may just make a statement, ask a question. So in terms of decision points for us here in the San Gabriel Valley with the Water Master and all the producers, it does seem that we will be fairly soon approaching a point where we'll need to start in earnest discussions about this purchase commitment. And so I would surmise that's probably the next big decision point that will come back to us to say, hey, we really need to start thinking about, not that we haven't already thought about it, but what kind of commitment are you looking for and are we able to make to keep the project moving forward?
Right. I think that that's a great point. And if you saw on the slide in the second workshop that we're going to have, we're going to be talking with our board about what kind of commitments that we would see, and we also want to get feedback from them on that. The vision is not to have those commitments in place before we ask for them to take the action on the environmental impact report. It's to make sure that we've got a sense of what their feedback is and what they think would be appropriate. We'll ask for starting the environmental impact report before that and starting that process before that. But then that would kick off probably a two-year process for the environmental work, but also a process to lock in those commitments. So that gives you a sense of the timing.
Yeah, that helps.
Well, we thank you for coming out here and explaining all the good stuff that you and our representative to the Met is working together, and he has our blessings and for you guys to move forward.
If I may, Mr. President, I'm really excited by this. I mean, this is a great step forward, a great leap for the San Gabriel Valley, and I just think that it's long overdue. One of the things that stuck out as the messaging on Water Master, the waters that connect us, all kind of different kinds of water, whether it's recycled water, whether it's groundwater, whether it's imported water, it's just the waters that connect all these agencies here in the San Gabriel Valley. And this is a big part of that connection. So I thank you, Devin, and your staff for working really diligently on this thing and getting this thing done. And I'm really excited by this. Thank you.
And I just reiterate, if you all are interested, we'd love to have you out to tour the demonstration facilities. If you're Roger Trevino or Tom, you've got my number if you want to make that happen. So.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Cool. How many people have been visiting the demonstration plant?
I don't have the latest numbers, but we've been getting folks through there on a weekly basis.
That's so great.
We've got a gallery growing going on Friday.
I think we'll take you up on that. I'm sure there's a lot of interest here, and so we'll take you up on that, I'm sure.
Good.
Thanks,
Roger. Thank you. With that, we'll go to item number 8B, which is to approve recommended legislative positions. The Government Affairs Committee made a couple of recommendations, so it's before the board. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
So it's been moved and seconded to approve those positions. Any questions? Yes.
Thank you, Mr. President. Assembly Bill 217, Garcia's Safe Drinking Water Bill Act. Are you requesting, because the way I understand that every producer will be paying 50 cents in their new water bills? Is that what is being requested? I'm opposed to paying any more taxes than we already paid. So before I say let's approve it or let's support it, I know you have it as a watch, and I'm glad you did that, because I have questions on it. Are we going to be taxed more? I have a question on that one. And have we approved the other one of 55 gallons per day per person per household? I forgot what Assembly Bill. That might be Hertzberg, if I remember correctly. Are we in support of that as well, or opposing or watching? Thank you.
A final deal on the water tax, so there is no water tax. That was fixed by Governor Newsom by putting in an appropriation through the state budget and also the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund, and that's how it's going to move forward. So it will be continuously appropriated for the next, I believe it's 5 to 8 years, not quite, I can't remember exactly, but it's coming out of the GGRF fund, not a water tax. So you know, this bill is no longer active. It's a dead bill.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then as far as your other question for the water conservation standards that were set by the state, that was a bill that went through session last year and was approved and signed into law. So those were the two water conservation bills that we were actively tracking and working with the association to ensure that what were in those bills was what our retailers would be comfortable with. So, yes, that's already been set into law.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a motion on the floor. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed? Hearing no opposition, passes 4-0. Go to item number 8C, which is approval of amendments to our investment policy. The Administrative and Finance Committee made the recommendations, and so what's the wishes of the board?
So moved.
Second.
Second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Passes 4-0. We'll go to item number 8D, which is nominations of the California Special Districts Association for the term. It says staff recommended that the Board of Directors approve supporting the nomination of Catherine Teets.
So moved.
A second for discussion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Then we'll go to discussion. Mr. Peepee.
Thank you, Mr. President. There were three nominations. My question to staff, because it was a staff recommend. There were more than three people that chose to be part of this. Why was two staff, whoever recommended Kathleen Teets, why her over the others?
So I'll address that. It primarily is the stature. Kathleen Teets was the chairman of the Association of California Water Agencies. She's been very active in both AQUA and in CASA. She is represents an agency that is a producer within another MET member agency, Inland Empire Utilities Agency, so we have that nexus as well. I know Kathy and Dennis personally, both of them, and I felt in terms of the leadership role, Kathy as a board member as opposed to Dennis as a staff member would bring to water agencies in the Special District Association.
Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Passes 3-1. Okay. So we'll go to item number 8E, which is approved agreement between the MET and our district and the Great District of the La Puente Valley County Water District as well.
So moved.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second. But I have questions.
Yeah,
or a question.
Discussion.
Yeah. In reviewing this particular item, I'm confused because when I was reviewing it, I'm not a mathematician or a chemist. There's some kind of formulas that I totally got lost. Maybe someone can understand or explain to us what some of this formula stands for or what it means and some of those numbers that I saw. I'm in support of it, but I got confused and I told Greg a little that I'm going to be asking of this crazy formulas that I saw here somewhere.
So while you're looking for it, this did go to the Water Policy Committee, but there's no recommendation because there was a lack of a quorum at the time. That's why the recommendation is before us. So
yeah, on page 18 that we had, this for fixed interest rate financing, AC cost equals CRF 1 times P1 plus CRF 2, and so on. I got lost. I don't know what that means.
E equals MC squared. I don't think this is calculus. This is simple accounting.
Okay, I guess I don't know.
No, sorry.
That's okay.
And so this is a consistent formula. Metropolitan has used this in these agreements for a number of years. And it's a methodology to determine the eligible annualized capital cost that are used in calculating the amount of the rebate under the agreement. So that's the purpose for it. In terms of the individual terms, maybe we could go through this later.
I mean, I'm in support. And I know that Prop 84, we did the funding many years ago, so it's told, but it was just in the reading, didn't make sense to me, but I, overall, the whole concept of what we're doing, I'm 100% in support. But I just, later on, maybe I can get an understanding of this calculation.
If I may, Director, also, it's important to keep in mind that these calculations are really have to do with what MET will ultimately be contributing to La Puente Valley. It doesn't really have, I mean, this district sort of stands in the middle and things pass through it, but these calculations ultimately don't really have much bearing on this district per se. It's the net result of these calculations will be realized by La Puente Valley.
That's why. And was there a motion and a second?
Yes, there was a motion and second. Any further discussion? I just want to share that General Manager Love and I were talking about the water district, La Puente Valley, and that we were going to set up a special presentation to their board.
Yes.
On working relationships and projects that we're doing as well.
Yeah, recognition of this. Yeah.
Okay, so that will be coming, and hopefully the two of you guys could get together and pick a good date, and we'll be happy to be present there. Okay. With that, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, passes 4-0. Then we will go to item number 9, which is information items, the press releases and news articles that you may read at your leisure. And then we'll go to item number 10.
Thank you, Mr. President. Since our last meeting, the legal department's involvement has really been dominated by sort of day-to-day transactional housekeeping matters, contract review. Some of the items that were today's action items, for example, the investment policy, the LRP agreement with Met and La Puente, and some other sort of miscellaneous contract reviews. The Waterfest arrangements, but that is really, it's all been sort of, I don't want to say mundane because nothing's mundane, but it's all just been sort of day-to-day housekeeping matters, and that concludes my report.
Good. Any questions for our attorney? Seeing none, then we'll go to item number 11, engineer's report.
Thank you, Mr. President. It is the second meeting of the month, so I'll keep it very brief. For current information, key well elevation was measured on July 12th at 196.2. It did drop 0.2 from the prior week. If you notice, we've got a lot of water in the spreading ground, so we expect this to turn around pretty quickly and start going up, actually. So that's the current situation. A lot of water being spread. I concur with Devin's comments about the coordination between MWD, Upper District, the Water Master. A lot of work's been done to get a lot of water coordinating, not just with MWD water, but coordinating the MWD delivers with our local water, because we have local water this year, too. So that coordination has been pretty extensive, and it's worked out very well so far this year. A lot of water being delivered. So the only other report I wanted to make is maybe just a brief update on the water being delivered. Through the end of June, okay, we've delivered a total of almost 200,000 acre feet to the basin, about 190,000. With local water, about 112,000, the rest all imported water. So about a little, close to a 50-50 split. So that's pretty good. We're estimating delivery between now and the end of the year, about another 100,000 acre feet, with a split being about 40,000 acre feet of local water and about 55,000 acre feet of imported water. So again, about a 50-50 split. And what you're seeing out there right now really is a combination of local and imported water, with most of it going into the spreading grounds, a little bit going down the river, but no water getting past Whittier Narrows, all being spread in this basin. That's all I have.
Well, you saw that firsthand, and hopefully you'll share some of that information later on.
Yeah, new tour.
All right, we'll go to item number 12, General Manager's Report.
Well, that was a nice cue up. I did want to tee off of what Steve was mentioning Monday. We did take a small group out with Director Contreras and Director Chavez. Brain lock, sorry. Thank you. How embarrassing. We did go out Monday morning. We went up the canyon, and it was not that it hasn't happened before, but it was somewhat of a rare sight. I certainly have never seen it, where we have USG3 running at 290 CFS, and Morris Dam releasing at over 300 CFS. I talked to Kevin Smead afterwards, and he let me know they had increased the county release, or the Morris Dam releases above 300 CFS. And so to see that amount of water coming down the channel was a welcome and rare sight. As we drove up to just above San Gabriel Dam, and it's visually obvious, there's still a lot of water back there. And so these releases are likely to continue, at least for the Morris Dam releases. We didn't expect them to be releasing in July, and they decided, no, we're going to do them both at the same time. And those releases will probably last until the end of August, Steve, correct?
Yep.
And so that's really a welcome sight. We haven't seen anything like this for maybe 11, 12,
yeah,
or 04, 05, the last time we saw anything anywhere close to this.
Yep.
So it's a welcome sight, and it's a great time to go out and visit the spreading grounds. I think the group really enjoyed it.
It was excellent.
Yes, please. Is Morris Dam, that's the local water, right?
Yeah. Morris Dam, St. Gabriel Dam, that's all the local rainfall that fell in the watershed up in the mountains that's held behind the dam.
Great.
The imported water comes in just below the dam, so everything out of Morris is local. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Okay, so we'll go to item number 11, Metropolitan Report. The report's in the packet, but would you care to share?
Mr. President, the report is in the packet, and it's pretty extensive in terms of what has happened in the board. But I think, again, speaking about Devin's report to us, this is an exciting thing. It's something that new for Metropolitan. The amount of commitment, $3.4 billion to this project, and the impact it'll have on regional water supplies is amazing. So, and so important to us here in the San Gabriel Valley. So, and I'm glad we're talking about maybe meeting with him and on some commitment from us in terms of buying that water, working with the Water Master, of course. And so this is, I'm really excited by this, and I think this is going to bode well for us in this project. So that's really all I have to say, Mr. President.
Good. Any questions on that item? If not, then we'll go to item number 14, Water Quality Report. There's a meeting at 12 o'clock this afternoon. Yesterday or the day before, the WQA had a briefing and legislative tour with State Senator Bob Archuleta, and we took him to the B6 plant there in Ballin Park, and he asked a lot of questions, got a lot of information, so hopefully we have some more champions in the legislature to fight for our cause down there in San Gabriel Valley.
I just want to iterate on Director Trevino's appointment to the Engineering and Operations Committee. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Go to item number 15, which is the Water Master Report. Is there in the packet anything else that you wish to share?
No, it's all there, Mr. President.
Sounds good. Go to item number 16, which is the compliance report for AB 1234. Anything to add?
I do. Well, I'll do it on director comments.
Okay. Then we'll go to director's comments, and we'll go ahead and start with Director Santana.
Thank you. I just think it's really exciting that we discussed two recycled water projects today, the La Puente project and, of course, this exciting one, the Regional Recycled Water Project Program. So I think it's great we're moving forward with that.
Next, we'll go with
Director
Trevino, Director's report.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to take note of having Tony here to brief us on their outreach plan. It's really exciting. Look forward to working with Water Master, and I wanted to thank him for being here to get us caught up to speed on what's happening with our friends at Water Master. I have not really been too much a part of this, but I know it had been ongoing. So thank you for being here. Thank you for giving us this update, Tony. I hope we'll get more of this as time goes on. And we look forward to being partners with you.
Good. And then Vice President Contreras.
Thank you. And Director Trevino, thank you for leading me up to my message. That's on Tony's comments. To get your message out and rolling it out, I'm sure Patty would invite you to be part of our 60th anniversary for our water district. So get a booth, support our 60th anniversary, and we're looking for other water producers and companies to join us in this particular event because we're going to need all the help we can get. I'm putting a plug for Patty. That's all I have. Thank you.
Patty, if you get us the information, we've got an association meeting on Monday. If you're going to be ready, that soon, I'll be happy to take that to the association.
I'll collect later, Patty.
Good. All right. Let's go to, and my comment would be I went on the Upper District tour as well, led by Mr. Contreras, Director Contreras, with this group of folks from the Azusa area. We had excellent narratives and stories of the San Gabriel Valley by our general manager, Tom Love, and the folks really loved that experience. I have been up there many, many times, but never actually saw water coming out. And we had two deliveries all at one time, so it was very historic to see that. I think the last maybe 10 years maybe it has happened. So it was really an excellent tour. Everybody loved it, and hopefully we have many more of those.
May I add something to that? First of all, thank you, Tom. It wasn't my tour. It's really staff's tour. Other than I spoke to the Azusa Rotary in the past. They wanted to know where water comes from, how's the store, and so on and so forth. It gave us an opportunity to be able to do this for the Azusa group. And I think Tom and staff did an outstanding job. I had nothing to do with it other than say, let's see what we can do for you guys. And they went up and above and beyond what they needed to do. So thank you, staff and general manager.
Item number 18, future agenda items. Does anyone have any items that you wish to present?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. And then item number 19, we are not having a closed session.
There is no closed session.
And then is there any further business before we adjourn? Because I would like to adjourn in memory of Norma Manning. Norma Manning was the spouse of our former director's